You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in your faith. Gen Z, we want to encourage you today to stand strong in the midst of Christian persecution. Again, thanks for listening to the show. Be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, and download the free Fortis Plus app to listen anytime. And if you're listening on Apple, we'd love for you to leave a review, or if you're on Spotify, consider tapping a star rating. We are in the middle. Part one, last time. Today, part two, talking about Christian persecution out of Acts chapter 4. Let me remind you where we left off last time. We've been talking about how Peter and John had just turned Jerusalem upside down. They healed a man everyone thought would never walk. And then they preached the resurrection of Jesus, and boom, the temple police hauled them off like common criminals. They didn't steal anything. They didn't riot. They didn't break any law except one. They dared to speak in the name of Jesus. And when they wouldn't be silenced, they got summoned to face the Supreme Court of Jerusalem, known as the Sanhedrin. I mean, you might say that if Acts 4 were a movie, this would be the courtroom showdown. On one side, two simple fishermen. On the other, 71 of the most powerful, educated, self-righteous men in Israel. It's like two construction workers being dragged before the Supreme Court for preaching outside of Home Depot. But Peter and John didn't fold. They stood firm. And these two fishermen with calloused hands and country accents got thrown in jail for preaching truth in a culture that couldn't handle it. Now they're dragged out of that cell. They're placed in front of the Supreme Court of Religion, the Sanhedrin, the most powerful, robe-wearing, beard-stroking men that you could ever imagine. And the question that's hanging in the air is this: who do you think that you are? How come you think you can talk like this? I mean, that's the question they're asking. And that's kind of the same question that our culture keeps asking of you today, isn't it? I mean, who do you think you are to say that there are only two genders? Who do you think you are to say that marriage is between a man and a woman? Our culture would say, who do you think you are to say that Jesus is really the only way to heaven? I mean, let's face it, the pressure's real. Every guy listening to this show knows that that's true. You speak up about your faith at work, and HR gives you the look. You post a Bible verse online, and you lose like three followers and maybe even two dates. You take a stand for purity, and suddenly everyone's saying you're being judgmental. I mean, let's be honest. Being bold for Jesus today can feel like walking through a minefield wearing flip-flops. But here's the deal, brothers. You can't claim to follow a crucified Savior and expect a comfortable life. And Peter and John, well, they didn't back down. They didn't apologize for truth. They didn't compromise in order to fit in. They stood up. They spoke out. They stared down power and said, "We can't help but speak what we've seen and heard." And that's where we're going today, Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, where two ordinary men go toe-to-toe with religious power, and they show us what spirit-filled courage really looks like. And so, men, our generation doesn't need more influencers. It needs more intercessors. We don't need more guys chasing clout. We need men chasing character. The church doesn't need more comfort seekers. It needs commandos who will take hits for the gospel. I mean, the world's asking, who do you think you are? And your answer better be, I'm seeking to be a man of God, standing on the word of God and filled with the Spirit of God. So let's now see how Peter and John handle being accused of having no authority. Remember last time we looked at how they were arrested in verses 1 through 4 for preaching the resurrection. They were arrested for doing the very thing we all ought to be doing, lifting high the name of Jesus. And that moves us into number two. Today in our show, we want to talk about how they were accused of having no authority. And so here we see the gathering of the local authorities in verses 5 through 6, where we read, it says here, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. So these were the local human authorities, and this is the religious dream team of intimidation. I mean, the rulers, that's really just the politicians. The elders, these would be tribal heads. The scribes, these would be lawyers and scholars of theology. And then there's Annas and Caiaphas. These are the same men, the high priest, who had railroaded Jesus into a fake trial and a death sentence to the cross. And now they're looking at Peter and John like, we thought we killed this movement. Why are these guys still preaching? And this was the establishment flexing its power. These men were addicted to control. They were obsessed with image. They were allergic to grace. I mean, Jesus described them well back in Matthew 23, verses 2 through 5, where he said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. Man, I mean, this is a disgrace. The Sanhedrin was really just an elite group of hypocrites. They were a gathering of antichrists. They were the high court of the devil. And this group wants to question Peter and John. I mean, these weren't shepherds of Israel. They're just showmen out to get some likes on how they face the modern culture of the day. I mean, they looked holy, but they were really hollow on the inside. And now they're about to integrate into this religious conversation, and they start to interrogate these two uneducated fishermen who've just shaken Jerusalem with one sermon. Listen, brothers, never be intimidated by titles or degrees or status. God doesn't need you to be credentialed. He wants you to be courageous. I mean, the world respects resumes, but heaven respects humility and righteousness. So don't let your lack of position make you think that somehow you lack power. Peter and John had no platform, but they had the presence of God. And when you've been with Jesus, that's all the credibility you'll ever need. I mean, being with Jesus gives you boldness. Being with Jesus gives you conviction. Being with Jesus removes all fears. Being with Jesus makes you a real man. And being with Jesus reminds you that you live for the glory of heaven and not for the comforts of earth. Verse 7 here says, and when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Sound familiar? I mean, this is the question from the local authorities. So they had asked Jesus the same thing back in Matthew 21, verse 23, where they said, by what authority are you doing these things and who gave you this authority? I mean, they thought authority came from human permission. But Peter knew real authority comes from on high. It comes from divine commission. And the Sanhedrin didn't give them permission to heal or to preach. Heaven did. You never need man's permission to do what God has commanded. I mean, this is really an attempt at intimidation 101. I mean, picture it, a circular room filled with angry old men in robes glaring at you from every angle and every direction. They're trying to make Peter and John feel small. It's like the world today saying, who gave you the right to call sin, sin? Who told you marriage is between a man and a woman? Who made you judge of truth? Culture doesn't mind faith until it confronts their idols. And when it does, they'll say exactly what the Sanhedrin said, who do you think you are? So young man, please know here, authority doesn't come from popularity, it comes from purity. And you don't need the world's permission to preach God's truth. Stop apologizing for believing in the Bible and use the sword of the Spirit And I say go on the offensive. Been playing defense long enough. The ball's in your hand. Take it and run with it. I mean, the culture wants cowards, but Christ raises up soldiers. And so don't speak timidly where the scripture speaks clearly. When someone asks who gave you the right, you answer like Peter and say Jesus did. And so now that we've taken a look here, verses 1 through 4, how they were arrested for preaching the resurrection, and in verses 5 through 7, they were accused of having no authority. Let's move on to our third point now and look at how they affirmed the power and exclusivity of Jesus. That's Peter and John affirmed the power and exclusivity of Jesus, verses 8 through 12. And notice how verse 8 talks about how Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders. I mean, I like this, right? Peter was ready. This wasn't the same man who had denied Jesus by a campfire a month and a half earlier. This wasn't the same man that was scared of the servant girl recognizing that he had been with Jesus. This was the man transformed by Pentecost, filled with the Spirit, and fearless before kings. Now, don't go away, because when you come back after the break, we're going to wrap up how Peter handled this place of persecution.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Adam Tyson in just a moment, who is teaching on Peter and John standing before the Sanhedrin today. And here's a question, young men. When the world looks at you and asks you, who do you think you are? What do you think is actually standing behind your answer? Because when we look at the account that Dr. Tyson is talking about today, Peter could stand his ground because he'd been with Jesus. So if you're bold just like Peter, understand that foundation, that's a foundation that doesn't come out of nowhere. It's a foundation that gets built. The Master's University is in the foundation building business. That's right. They're not there to just give you credentials for a resume. They're there to provide you with conviction for the rest of your life. See, TMU is forming young men who know what they believe and why they believe it, which is something that is gravely missing in our world right now. We have a lot of people who know what they believe, but they have no idea why they believe it. TMU does everything imaginable to remedy that issue. Dr. Tyson himself is a professor at the Master's University, so is another one of our fellows, Dr. Greg Gifford. So if you're a high school senior, or you know one, or maybe you're just looking to go back to school, I want you to consider the Master's University. You can get the conversation started right now by visiting masters.edu/manhood. And real quick, before we get back to Dr. Tyson, I want to also point out to you the reason that you're hearing this podcast. It's not simply because you turned it on, but there's a deeper reason behind that. The reason that this podcast is able to be created in the first place is because of people just like you. These are men and women we call gospel partners, people who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much that they wanted to join us so that more people in more places all over the world have access to the content that we are creating on a daily basis. And so if that is you, if you've ever been impacted by anything that you've heard here at Fortis Institute and you want to make sure that more people also have access to the content we're creating, we would be honored to link arms with you and stand with you. You can get all of the information about what it would look like in your life to join us as a gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. And while you're there, don't forget to download Fortis Plus. That's our mobile app. That is how all of the content we're creating on a daily basis is distributed. Again, it's free. Doesn't cost you anything. So go to fortisinstitute.org and you can do all of the things that we've just talked about. Now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, and thanks for joining me on the show today. Be sure to consider following the show, or you can leave a review on Apple or give us a star rating on Spotify, and maybe share it with a brother who needs some encouragement in this area. That's right. We're talking about the area today of Christian persecution, and we're looking at how, though Peter and John were arrested by the Sanhedrin and they had to give a defense, they weren't alone because Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was fired up, and he was ready, and being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you get goosebumps or chills. It means that you get courage. And this man, transformed by Pentecost, was fearless. And his fear had been replaced with fire. And Peter stood there. And he is surrounded, remember, by these power-hungry, intimidating men. And yet Peter didn't shrink back. I mean, when the Holy Spirit fills you, you stop worrying about the outcomes and you start obeying orders. You don't need more confidence, young man. You need more spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is what turns timid men into warriors. And you can't stand in the fire if you haven't been filled with it. So that takes a little time to soak in the scripture and develop a strength and a character and a conviction that will help you go against anything. So I might suggest quit praying for an easier road and start praying for a stronger backbone. When you're filled with the Spirit, you don't flinch, you fight. And that's what we see here in verse 9. Peter makes a plain and simple argument. Here's what Acts 4:9 says. If we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? So again, Peter starts off by basically saying, wait a second, are we on trial for healing someone? That's how upside down the world gets when sin ruins the system. I mean, God becomes bad, and somehow truth becomes hate, and righteousness becomes rebellion. Sound familiar? I mean, today, Christian schools get attacked for teaching biblical values. Pastors get canceled for preaching against sin. Bakers and photographers get sued for standing on biblical marriage. Peter, he wasn't hostile. He was honest, and he's saying, if kindness is illegal, then go ahead and cuff me. And it continues here in verses 12 through 13. Beloved, do not be surprised, or rather, that's in 1 Peter 4:12 through 13, not Acts 4, but 1 Peter 4:12 through 13 says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. So again, young man, don't be shocked when good men get called villains. The world crucified Jesus. It's not going to clap for you. And when you get mocked for purity, laughed at for your faith, or unfollowed for conviction, wear it like armor, not shame, because real men don't need approval to do what's right. And if doing good costs you, pay the price. Jesus already covered the big bill, and you can handle the small one. And that's kind of where we see Peter and John going here, is they are going to continue on their strength of proclaiming salvation through Jesus Christ in verses 10 through 12. I mean, this is like a mic drop moment. Here's what that passage says. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Boom. He didn't give them soft words. He gave them the sword of truth. And here in these verses, he's actually quoting a little bit from Psalm 118, verse 22, talking about Jesus being the stone that the builders rejected, and that stone has now become the cornerstone. I mean, the cornerstone is that first and most critical piece in ancient construction. It determined the position, the alignment, and the integrity of the whole structure. And that's why Ephesians 2:20 says that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So if your life feels crooked, maybe it's because you built it without the cornerstone. Jesus doesn't just fit into your life, he holds it together. And so Peter is telling the most educated man in the nation, you rejected the very foundation that God was building on. I mean, that takes courage. And then comes verse 12, the gospel condensed into one verse, there is salvation in no one else. I mean, that's not arrogance, that's accuracy. I mean, that's not hate speech, that's hope speech. I mean, Jesus had said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Now, that's a hill worth dying on. I mean, here we're talking about the important theological principle known as the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. I mean, you ever noticed how our world treats religion like a buffet? They say, take a little Buddha for peace, a little Jesus for forgiveness, and maybe some crystals for good vibes. Bro, that's not faith. That's a spiritual smoothie with some ingredients that weren't even meant for mixing. Jesus didn't say, I'm one of your options. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, that's not arrogance. That's authority. And I get it. Our culture hates that kind of clarity. They want participation trophies in heaven. They want to say, all roads lead to God. But listen, all roads don't lead up the mountain. Most roads go straight off the cliff. And there's only one road that leads to life, and it's stained with blood, the blood of Jesus and his cross. And so, young man, don't ever apologize for that. The world says that's narrow. Yeah, it's narrow, but it's true. And real men don't apologize for truth. They live it out. They love it, and they lead with it. So when someone says, you think Jesus is really the only way, look them in the eye and say, no, I know he's the only way, because he's the only one who died for me, the only one who rose from the dead for me, and the only one who's coming back. Again, that's not bigotry. That's bold faith. The world could use a little bit more of it, and that's the kind of clarity this confused world needs from men who would refuse to bow, refuse to blend in, or refuse to back down. So, young man, again, don't ever apologize for exclusivity when it comes to Christ. The world says all roads lead to heaven. No, they don't. Most roads lead to hell. And you can't preach a generic gospel and expect a genuine conversion. I mean, Jesus isn't a way. He is the way. So when the culture says, tone it down, I say, turn it up. Preach Christ boldly. Love people fiercely, and never trade truth for tolerance. I mean, Peter and John, they stood before power. They stood before wealth and prestige, and they didn't blink. They didn't bow. They didn't break, because they knew their authority didn't come from men. It came from God. And the same Spirit that filled them can fill you this very day. The same gospel that saved them saves you if you're in Christ. And the same mission that sent them sends you as well. Persecution, again, it's not punishment, it's proof. It's proof that you're dangerous to the devil. Brothers, you're part of the brotherhood of the unashamed, men who feared God more than they feared death. You stand shoulder to shoulder with Peter and John and with Polycarp, who faced the flames and said, 86 years I've served him and he has done me no wrong. With John Bunyan, who turned a prison cell into a pulpit. With Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who defied Hitler and said, this is the end for me, the beginning of life. With Richard Wurmbrand, who showed his scars and said, these are the marks of the Lord Jesus. With Samuel Lamb, who looked at a communist prison and said, persecution is better than prosperity. And let's add one more. Jim Elliott, a 28-year-old college athlete, sharp mind, strong body, all in for Jesus, who flew into the jungles of Ecuador to reach a tribe who'd never heard the gospel. And when he had landed, they speared him to death on a muddy riverbank. The world said, what a waste. Heaven said, what a warrior. Because later, the very man who killed him came to Christ through the witness of Jim's wife, Elizabeth Elliot. And before he died, Jim wrote these words in his journal, words that still shake heaven and earth. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I mean, that's the call, right? That's the standard. That's the brotherhood. Real men don't chase safety. They chase significance. They don't live to be liked. They live to be loyal to Christ. They don't retreat when it's costly. They rise when it counts. So stand up, young man. Speak the truth and stay faithful. Don't pray for a lighter cross. Pray for a stronger back. And when the fire comes, don't run from it. Burn brighter in it. Because one day this world will forget the names of the famous, but it will never forget the men who finished fearless. Remember the words of Jesus, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These men didn't flinch, neither should you. Be filled with the Spirit, be faithful in the storm, and be fearless in the fight. Persecution isn't a threat, it's a test. And the same Jesus who stood with Peter in that courtroom stands with you today. Let's pray. God, thank you for the opportunity to look at Acts 4, 1 through 12. And I pray that you would give us that same courage that you gave Peter and John. I pray for that young man listening to the show today who maybe needs to be a witness at work or with his friends or in his neighborhood. God, help him to stand strong. Help him not to be afraid. Give him courage. Give him character. And may he proclaim the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ without shame. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.